Jelani Tavai on a Patriots Friday is brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh, and by findmassmoney.gov. And Jelani, I know you got a meeting, so you got to get to a meeting, but we'll get you in and out this morning. How you doing?
I'm good, man. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great. So some, from the outside at least, some criticism this week when it came to Jerod Mayo calling this team soft and then walking that back. But if you guys are being honest when you talk about it, it seems like maybe that has lit a fire under this team.
I mean, it's a new week. You know, we're on to the Jets. What happened happened, and, you know, this week is it's on us to come out and, you know, be prepared and execute our jobs.
Jelani, being on to the Jets, is Aaron Rodgers still the one of the hardest guys that you have to prepare for? And if so, what makes him so difficult?
100%. You know, this guy's been around the league for, what, 20 years now? And, I mean, I think he's been in the league longer than some of our rookies have been alive. So, you know, he's seen a lot of coverages. He's seen a lot of balls. So he knows when we're disguising. He knows when we're just sitting there in a certain cover. So we got to, you know, give him certain looks. That way we can, you know, have him either wait till the last second to try and figure out, and maybe he'll call a timeout or try and adjust. But it's on us as defense guys to just, you know, disguise this week and show him something different that we haven't put on film.
Jelani, whether it's, you know, I think he said that you guys played soft, and when you looked at the film, because I think there are a lot of guys that agree you probably did play soft as far as giving up the run the way you gave it up. I don't think that you're those type of players where you're turning stuff down. What do you think is leading to some of that poor play, especially defensively against the run game, where it seems like teams might be a little bit being able to handle you guys more physically, especially at the line of scrimmage? What do you think you guys are not doing good enough?
I think we're just not being consistent. That's it. That's the biggest thing for football, like for this game. You got to be consistent. You can't just do your job one time and, you know, not do it the next two. So I would say it's just being consistent.
Speaking of being consistent, Jelani, what is the accountability like in your locker room? It feels like things have gotten somewhat out of control with players going out late before a game. How do you guys sort of keep players in line yourselves, forgetting Jerod Mayo for a moment?
You said people going out. I don't know about that, people going out the day before the game, but, you know, you just got to be professional. If you're doing that, which you shouldn't be, but you got to take accountability for however you play. But, no, I think as a whole, and especially as a defense, we're taking accountability for, you know, the past weeks. You know, we can't just all throw it on Mayo and you know, use him as a scapegoat, because we're the ones out there playing. So, no, we're taking full accountability of what's going on.
Have you ever been called soft by a coach prior to that?
But yeah, when I was a kid, and then I turned it around. You gotta, if you hear that as a person, as a man, and you're either going to sulk about it or you're going to do something about it.
Jelani, it does seem like every week we have some type of rumor that's out about this team, or players talking about pride, you know, going out for themselves and not for the team. The rumor after London was that, you know, maybe guys were staying out too late or didn't have their head in it completely. Did you feel like there were too many distractions when you guys were in London? Do you think that led to your play on the field?
No, I don't think that was a distraction. I think we kept the main thing the whole journey. You know, that was the message from everybody, was just, this is a business trip, you know? So, yeah, but you know what? It's a new week. It's like we said, we're onto the Jets, and, right now we've been having a great week of preparation, and, we just got to make sure that everything we do on the practice field, we transition it to the game. So yeah, we just got to make sure that we're consistent.
I know Drake May is on the other side of the football for you, but, when it comes to his age, And it, from the outside, at least, the way he has appeared to kind of accept a leadership role, has that, a couple games into starting, has that surprised you?
You said, does that surprise me that he's playing this way?
Well, not necessarily playing, but the way he seems to us to be kind of assuming a leadership role on this team, and he's only two games.
Doesn't surprise me.
Yeah,
it doesn't surprise me that he's stepping into a leadership role. I feel like that just comes with being a quarterback. You know, you're a general on the field, but I think that's also just his personality. He's a great human being and a really good competitor. So that's something that we look for in a leader.
Jelani, do you feel like, and when I played, we had guys like Willie McGinnis and Lawyer Malloy that kind of policed that locker room, not only with the way that players respected them, but there was a little bit of fear because, hey, guess what? If you talk slick to Willie, you might get hit. Do you feel like there are guys in that locker room, and I throw yourself into this as well, that carry that same type of demeanor where maybe there's a little bit of fear that players feel towards you guys, and could your voice be a little bit louder to maybe rally some of the troops to fall in line and be a little bit more mature when it comes to on and off the field situations?
We definitely have some guys like that. But I don't think we're as extreme.
All right, well, listen, we know you got to get to work and get to a meeting, and it is an opportunity to turn things around, and we appreciate you taking the time this morning.
Of course. You guys have a wonderful day.
All right, there's Jelani Tavai.
Oof.
What do you mean, oof?
We need to call him early.
It's just not, it's kind of is what it is.
It's a wake-up call.
We don't call him.
He's getting in the car. He's getting out of the car. Yeah, you right, can tell guys are coming up to him.
Probably Bluetooth in it. Hands-free.
It is what it is.
And yeah. The service, not great out
he's
there.
He's got the Edelman phone.
Well, it's also, you got a big meeting you're going to go to figure out how to get gashed for 200 yards. I mean, you could give 5 minutes seated in the car. Last time I checked, you went out till not him. Teammates were out till 3 a.m. You can get there at 7:35.
Well, he doesn't know anything about that.
Like,
who was the first to report that?
Mass Live, I think, had something, and then Kendrick Bourne confirmed it, but didn't talk about specific players.
Well, yeah, Kendrick Bourne, I think yesterday was when he addressed the fellas,
right,
and said that he had made a mistake in the lead up to a Super Bowl by being out too much, essentially. He and his teammates.
Right.
And so
out and eaten, he said. So it's like,
well, not what he said. He said yesterday he brought up the mistake stuff.
Right, but I'm saying before that.
Before that, he had said that guys should not be out all night and eating or whatever.
Right.
Right.
So
I would also say, Greg, like when Edelman was doing that, he had won 3 Super Bowls. Like, it wasn't great then, but it's Julian Edelman, a guy that's going in the Patriots Hall of Fame, one of the most clutch players in the history of the city, versus a guy on a team that's lost 6 straight games who's a part of the defense and is the reason why. Yeah. Like, I just...
And that's why I brought up the Gronk thing. Like, all right, if you're going to go out and you're going to party and you're going to let loose, then, well, I always say it, don't let your night job affect your day job. Go out there and have 3 touchdowns, 150 yards, or LT, who goes out the rumors were going out all night long and partying it up, and then the next day you have 2.5 sacks.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, well, can't really say nothing about that guy if
have
it's working.
You, in your time in the league, and your time, and I use this term loosely, analyzing the National Football League.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever encountered, with regard to the wide receiver room, a group of pure scrubbeens, as you would call them, who think that they are number one wide receivers in the NFL, who have convinced themselves?
Right.
Hey, have you ever encountered a bigger lack of talent and a larger belief that they are overloaded with talent than this wide receiver room.
No, it's shocking to me. You would think by the way that they talk, this was the Vikings of the late 90s with Chris Carter, Randy Moss, and Jake Reed. You're like, damn, that's some talented room, the way they're complaining about getting the football. That's why I said, like, even Pop Douglas. I think Pop Douglas is a good player.
Good.
But he's a six-round pick that is still trying to make a name for himself in the league. And to be so vocal when you hadn't earned your stripes, that's why I always go back to, like, policing the locker room on your own as players, where a guy could come in and be like, shut up, catch the damn football, and go out there and make plays before you start going to social media.
But who on this team is scary enough for other players to respect?
That's why I asked
yesterday,
that.
Yesterday, for instance, Juwan Bentley went and spoke to those guys. And so
he's hurt. He's not playing, though. It's completely different, man. I'm telling you, you don't see, like, when I play, like, I just kind of give you a little insight. When a guy's hurt, you don't see him around.
Right.
He's not in, especially if he's done for the year. He's not in meetings. He's not really out on the field. So he's kind of like a ghost.
You see you speaking today, Greg?
No.
Bob Soucy.
You need somebody that has that track record. They don't even need to be. You brought up Sean Thornton with the Bruins. They don't even need to be somebody who plays a lot. For us, like, even Brian Cox, the used to play linebacker.
Yeah. Oh, that hit on Python?
Jerome Python, I think his name was.
Game.
He didn't play a ton that year, but he had enough of a resume and he had enough of, like, a reputation of who he was as a player, that when he spoke, you respected him, and lightweight feared him in the sense because
right. You're afraid of him.
Like, he might, want to throw hands.
Yeah.
Like Jelani said, well, we don't get that extreme. Well, maybe you should.
Right. Maybe you should.
I mean, we can fight it out and be friends afterwards.
Yeah. Let's get to this.
It's time for
Larry Bird's not walking through that door, fans.
Would not say that I'm Mona Lisa Vito of the football world.
They want you to cook the dinner. At least they ought to let you shop for some of the groceries.
Said it.
Wake up to Del Bambino and have me face him. Maybe I'll grill him in the eye.
They said it.
I'm just going to say it.
All right. Let's at least start They Said It right now. A quick back and forth on what they said yesterday in sports. Where do you want to begin, Sean?
Well, Greg, I want to begin with the receivers we were just talking about. Wiggy's right. You can fight with anybody and still be friends. I'm one of my best friends. We had a huge fight one time. It was great.
Who won?
I did not win.
Was it physical or it just with your words?
No, it was actually a physical fist fight.
Oh. There you go.
Did it have something to do with the girl, Little Debbie?
No, it had nothing to do with the girl.
Curtis, it was over a controller.
Actually, it was over backyard football.
He stole my new controller.
No, it was over backyard football.
Oh, it was?
Yep, and I called him. I was in the phase of my life where my mother didn't want me swearing, so I used extra letters and words like biznitch. Young idiot me. Anyways, this receiver room, all they do is talk, and they think they're Randy Moss and Chris Carter. Well, Alex Van Pelt tells them they need to focus inward a little bit.
I think we all understand we're frustrated. You know, nobody's going to be happy at 1-6. That's just the reality of it. But I think that room in particular needs to keep the focus inward. You know, we have a big game this week. All of our focus should be on how we can, you know, get a W on Sunday. It's a very good opponent coming in. I understand the frustrations. That's part of losing football. Best way to take care of that is to get a win. But I think our focus right now needs to be solely on the Jets because it's a challenge.
Well, I mean, he makes a great point. I don't know that they're going to do it. Like, those guys, we were just talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to point the finger at themselves because they think they're extraordinary.
Right.
So they think the issue is that each one of them thinks that they're not getting the football enough and that would change the outcome of these games if they were throwing the football. So I don't know. Does Alex Van Pelt fix that by saying that publicly?
I think you fix it by actually being a little bit more innovative with your offense and doing some things that actually maybe gets the ball into their hands, gets them some opportunities. But we talk about this game. The Jets.
You can get the ball into their hands.
Uh-huh. Right. But the next step is tough.
Yes.
They're not going to catch it.
That is true. And well, maybe give it to
Jalen him. Polk has more drops than, you know, Ken when, maybe he, used give to, him, when he used to produce the show.
Maybe give him like an end around or a reverse or something where he doesn't have to catch, where you could just hand it to him. A little bit easier. Let's see what he could do with it. But you brought up the Jets, right? Even though there's dysfunction over there, at least I think they're looking at it like there's still a chance for us to make the playoffs, because if we can't put it together, we got enough talent to put it together and go on a run.
Which team is more dysfunctional heading into this game?
I think we are.
Yeah, I would say.
You say the Patriots?
I would say the Patriots. But it's close. But the Jets have enough talent to say if we put together three or four wins, we're right back in the conversation. The Patriots.
I don't know. You have guys publicly. Or guys who are saying out loud that the rest of this season is for Robert Saleh, who Aaron Rodgers got fired. Like, uh-huh. I mean, there's a clear divide right. on that football
there
team.
There is.
We actually have audio of a national pontificator talking about just how bad it is with Aaron Rodgers, if you want to hear it.
Yes.
Here. It's Chris Canty on with ESPN Radio.
Yeah. Let's listen.
No, I mean, here's the thing. The last couple of years in Green Bay, we suspected that Aaron Rodgers could be a little bit toxic, especially with a young team. I had no idea that it would be this bad. I mean, this guy is like a cancer that is metastasized within the New York Jets organization, and I don't know how they fix it.
Oof. And listen, he played with him, so he would know. All I'm saying is just on paper, if they – let's say hit a little bit of a run, they're 2-5, they'll put themselves right back in the mix. Where the Patriots, I'm saying those players in there, do you think any of those players look and go, okay, we could turn this thing around and get back into
the
mix?
Well, maybe that's why I was trying to get something out of Jelani, where maybe what Gerard Mayo says lights a fire under these guys. Like, maybe they are. You don't think so, Curtis, that they're not?
Greg, the fact that that was just the interview, like, Jelani Tavai seems like a really nice guy.
He's a really good guy.
I don't know anything about him. He doesn't seem to be in any way a guy that I would believe is trying to bring the organization anywhere but back to where it was. But, like, you asked him about what Gerard Mayo said. He didn't even acknowledge it. He basically said, on to the Jets, which suggests to me that he was pissed that he was lumped in with that.
That's a Bill Belichick guy, though. That's a guy who's always going to put the Patriots in a positive light and not really going to spend time talking about any negativity.
Right. That's how you change that, by saying, yeah, I love Coach Mayo. He's talked to us. He said we weren't soft. We're ready to go. He in no way did anything to make you feel like players weren't there.
Or at least say, hey, you know what? I agree with him. We did play soft.
Right.
Yeah.
I will just say, when it comes to the Jets-Patriots question that Greg asked, I would rather be a Patriots fan than a Jets fan right now, because the Jets have all the talent in the world and still have that dysfunction. At least we're 1-6, and our team sucks on the field.
The power of belief is, you know, is a snowball that can start an avalanche.
The dysfunction is expected for us, for the Jets.
Yeah.
If you're during a season that you're supposed to be top of the league and you are dealing with it the way that you are, that's way worse than
but I'm not talking
us in a rebuild.
I'm not talking about the fans. I'm talking about the players in that locker
room.
Yeah,
I would rather be on a team that's just bad and there's dysfunction than being on a team that's supposed to be good, losing, and there's dysfunction and hatred, it seems,
but
in the locker room.
But the good team has the ability, because of the talent in that locker room, to maybe rally and go, hey, let's turn this ish around. We got enough talent. And if they play.
I don't think they will.
I'm not saying they will, but I'm just saying the players in there go, we got the Patriots coming up this week.
Right.
We win this football game, which we should.
It's a division game.
It's a division game.
We gotta win it.
We're right back in the middle. Where the Patriots, you think there's guys in that locker room that believe they can turn it around this year?
I don't know if they believe they can turn. When you say turn it around, I hope there are guys that believe that they can win this football game and that feel called out by Gerard Mayo.
But do you believe, based on what we hear from them, that they might feel that way?
No, they have already booked their trip to Sandals, Jamaica.
Right. Yeah. Where at least the Jets is, and I'm just talking about players, not the fans, at least.
Wiggy Skeezins greetings, am I right?
I would say it's more Beach Seasons.
Yes, sir.
Right, but at least if you asked, though, like if you went to Sauce Gardner or you went to Quinnen Williams and said, hey, what do you think, believe you guys can turn it around? they would say, yes, we have the talent to do it.
Greg, you want to know what I wish Jelani Tavai had said to Jerod, or said about Jerod Mayo?
Biznatch.
Yes.
So I'm going to support him. I'm going to lift him up. And I'm going to be there for him. Because I see the way he fights. I see the way that he works. And I know who he is as a person. And that's all I have to say to address him.
Yep. Run the hill. Can we just go run the hill? What happened to running the hill?
They did it. Take him to the hill.
I love when they were running the hill.
That was
game,
mental.
Game balls for everybody. Game balls in every locker. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll get to the rest of They Said It next.